Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
We're sharing on the run-up to Christmas. We're sharing from Isaiah 9, and that's, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son was given." Amen. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Amen. Amen. So this morning I'm going to share on Wonderful Counselor. And he is wonderful. Amen. Yes. Before I knew him, all he was a curse word in my mouth. That's all he was to me. Jesus was a curse word. But when I got to know him, the first thing that happened was the next time I used that name as a curse word, it was like a dagger was put in my belly. And I thought, what is wrong? And then I realized immediately that no longer was Christ living outside of me, but he was now living in me. And he was the teacher. The Spirit of Christ was the teacher living in me, teaching me. Now that's, you see, people have this mistaken idea that when they, to become a Christian, they've got to stop doing all of this stuff. They think, I need to stop. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop whatever habitual habit you've got. But God never asked you to do that. He says, receive me as your personal Lord and Savior, and I'll come and I'll live in you, and then we'll work through that thing together. Amen. That's how it happens. So most people will say, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. But it's, you get Jesus in your life, and all that stuff dissipates, and it's like, wow, it's like a weight is lifted off your shoulder. And so we need to understand, and that's why Christ is so wonderful. He gives us the understanding of how to share himself with others. You know, the Bible says that Christ is preparing the bride for himself. You know, it's like in the book of Esther. Esther was taken, and for a whole year she was pampered. She had makeup treatments. She had everything because she was being ready to be presented to the king. And so that analogy is that Christ is preparing us to present us to himself. Yes. Amen. He's preparing the bride, and he is the bridegroom. Isn't that wonderful? And so what did Esther have to do? She had to lie back and enjoy it, isn't it? She got all those baths and milk and perfume or whatever it was. They did saunas and steam baths and whatever, mud baths or all that stuff that women get. And that was the whole thing for a whole year. But Jesus comes into us and he prepares us. He does that work from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? So he's wonderful, wonderful to me is he does signs and wonders. He says, in the last days, there will be signs and wonders. So people will wonder how that miracle happened. How did, you know, when I was in New Zealand this year, I prayed for a man that had all his tendons and nerve endings severed in his shoulder. And when I couldn't feel his arm or his hand or anything. And then when I prayed for him, immediately everything was restored. It was a creative miracle. And that's, you say, I wonder how that happened. You see, that's a wonder. And the doctors wonder how that, they say, well, that can't happen. But it did happen. Do you know what I'm saying? That's a wonder. So God sent his son into the world to be a wonder. And this is maybe a different tangent, but there's so many prophecies. There's 330 prophecies of Jesus coming into the world and the way he was going to be born, where he was going to be born, what his name was going to be, where his mum and dad were going to take him and come bring him back from, and everything, the town, the place, everything was prophesied like between 700 and 1,000 years by people that lived at different times and different areas that couldn't FaceTime each other, Instagram each other, or any other way of getting a message across to each other. But the message was prophesied over 330 times. And so these prophecies were all fulfilled. Because the reason I'm saying this, I was speaking to someone recently and they said, well, how can you say the Bible's true? How can you say that because it was written by man? Well, there was an American, there was quite a few Americans, but this one in particular, his name was Peter Stoner. He looked into this and got students to look into it as well. And what happened was that Stoner's work was reviewed by the American Scientific Association, and the mathematical analysis that he came up with is based upon principles of probability which are thoroughly sound. And Stoner used those principles in a proper and convincing way, which convinced the American Scientific Association. So it's not somebody thumb-sucking and saying this. So if you could put that number up in the screen there. Now, this number is a quintillion. A quintillion is 1 and 18 zeros. So it's like 18 million times a million. 18 million times a million. And that's the chance of 8 prophecies being fulfilled. Okay, so somebody said that to emphasize what a quintillion would be if you were to put a pile of pound coins 2 feet deep, covering all the land space in the world, and that would be like a quintillion. You get that? That's a lot of pound coins. But the probability factor is even more astounding. If you were to put a red cross on one of those pound coins and blindfold someone and say, now go out and find that 1 pound coin that's amongst all of those, that's the probability of the prophecies being wrong. I know you're all looking at me and you're all looking astounded. It's a wonder. Jesus Christ is a wonder. Amen. And these, so when you think of Christmas and you think of the birth of Christ, this was the probability of all these prophecies being in Micah 5 verse 2. It says, "You, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village in Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come to you from one whose origin are from the distant past." Isaiah 7:14, "The Lord himself will choose a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll be given birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God with us. That was Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before Christ came into the world. Amen. This is, we serve a God that is not only, we don't only need to use our faith to get in touch with him, but we can use our common sense. Mathematicians are telling us the probability factor of it not being Christ. Are you with me? So we can use mathematics, we can use all these methods to convince others that Christ did come and was born into the earth exactly the way the prophecy. You see, prophecy is the foretelling of things. So you can go to Google and you can look up those 330 prophecies. We don't have time today to go into all of those prophecies, but it was the prophecy with regards to Jesus being delivered up for 30 pieces of silver. That was in Zechariah 11:13, 487 years before Christ. And it was fulfilled in 30 AD in Matthew 26:15. And you can go through all these prophecies in the Bible, which shows you the wonder of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I wanted to start that way so that you can see that Christ is wonderful in his humanity. He wasn't just, he didn't just get born into the earth as a child. He was fully God and fully man. Amen. The Bible says, for unto us a son is given. That's talking about the humanity of Jesus. And then the Bible says after that, for unto us a child is born, talking about the humanity of Jesus, and unto us a son is given, talking about the deity of Jesus, the deity of Christ. Amen. So it's a wonder, and we're thankful that we have this time to honor Christ through that. And I want to talk to you this morning about counselor, because for me, him being a counselor is more pertinent to me, and in my life as a Christian, it has been more pertinent to me because his counsel has saved me in so many situations. It saved all of us in so many situations. The word counselor means advisor, someone that counsels in your purpose, someone that devises and strategizes a plan for you. He's a counselor, is someone that would advise the kings in the Old Testament on war plans and war strategies and everything. And today in society, there's more and more people needed as counselors for all sorts of malady that the people of this age have. And many of you know there's all sorts of counselors. You go to the National Health, they've got counselors for everything. Amen? Well, Jesus is the counselor. Amen? His role is the guiding role in our lives. He leads us. He sent his Spirit to lead us and guide us in the way that he should go. And, you know, he has age and experience behind him. If you're going for a counselor, I won't even get into politics, but, you don't go for a 10-year-old and ask them for counsel for your life. You want someone that's got some maturity, someone that has got silver hair or gray hair or whatever, but has got some age and has been through some stuff, that has survived some stuff in their lives. Amen? Someone that has survived stuff, and you go to them. Don't go to someone that's just been newly bankrupt and ask them for a financial strategy. Don't go to someone that's had two divorces and ask them for marriage counsel. Amen? You got to pick your counselors. Don't go to someone who is a total addict and ask them how to get off the stuff when they're still doing it. You know what I'm saying? You go to someone that's had the experience and has been free from that for a period of time, for a long period of time, and say, well, how did you do it? And so in Daniel 7, Jesus is named, or God's named, the Ancient of Days. So God always was, is and always will be. So he's the Ancient of Days. And the word says in Hebrews 4:15 that he's the high priest of ours and he understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So he has the experience. He faced all the sins that we'll ever face. He faced all the temptations that I feel sorry for people that are tempted today. And the tempter's always there, and temptations will always come. But we need the counselor to get us through those things. You know, the scandal right now with people being reported for sexual abuse and everything else from years ago. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that those people that were abused never felt that they had someone they could go to that would counsel them in the right way. Nor did the abuser have any counsel so that they would be able to overcome the temptations that were there. The temptations are there. My goodness, you can't walk into a mall. You know, it's like if you walk past Victoria's Secret, there's no secret. It's like it's out there. You know what I'm saying? You think, my goodness. Oh, you've never seen a Victoria's Secret. Okay. So, what is the secret? There's no secret. Everything's on show. It's like a pornographic thing that they've got going on all the time. Okay, they cover themselves up very skimpily, but thanks for asking. Anyway, but and having me to explain it, but they cover themselves up very skimpily and they parade themselves up and down to sell stuff. And even nowadays, it's selling toothpaste or insurance policies or whatever. Sex is in it, and they wonder why there's so much trouble with sexual perversion. You see, there's no counsel in that area. And so Jesus has knowledge. Acts 21:24 says, they all prayed, "O Lord, you know every heart. God knows every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen." So God gives us knowledge in every situation of your life. You need not. I thank God. Today I'm where I am because I've always tried, since the day I got born again, to listen to the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit through the Word of God, or listening to the Holy Spirit through prayer, or listening to counsel from a wise leader. But I've always sought counsel because I've never thought that I can do this in my own. When we try and do life in our own, we say, I know everything. Something. When I was a boy, when I was a younger boy, I knew everything. Many of you had children that know everything. I know that, Dad. I've got that covered. Yeah, right. We have children that know everything, but when you become a child of God, you realize you don't know everything, and you need to ask counsel of God. And 1 John 3:20 says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. So we go to a God that knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the future. So we ask God, what's this? If I do this today, what's the end result going to be? And God will give you a sense of peace, or he'll not give you a sense of peace. And if you don't have that sense of peace, wait until you have that sense of peace. Wait till the wonderful counselor shows you the way. How many of you, if you're honest with yourself, would have benefited from counsel? There's two? Is it four, five, six? Yeah, we all could have benefited from wise counsel in our lives. And we say, well, I wish I'd never done that. Well, if you'd asked for counsel, then you maybe you wouldn't have done it. But God, we still have a free will. We can go whatever way we want ourselves. God is, through the spirit of the counselor, through the Holy Spirit, has able to educate us. The word says in Isaiah 40:13, who is able to advise the spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right and show him the path of justice? He had the education. He was all-knowing from the beginning of time. He was all-knowing. I don't know if any of you watch Blue Planet, but every time you watch that, you think, wow, I never knew such a thing existed in the earth. You know what I'm saying? It's like we don't know. Our knowledge is like so limited, but God, through his counsel, can open our eyes to see vistas that we've never seen before. Amen? And he wants us to open our eyes. He wants us to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. He wants us to be leaders of society. He wants us to be people that make a difference in the world. Amen? And you say, well, you know, it's how much do you have to pay for this? Well, his price is right. Isaiah 55:1 says, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Yeah. His counsel is free. Yeah. We just need to go to him and ask, and he'll give us. He is a wonderful counselor. And the thing about his counsel is you'll never be judged. You'll never be judged. You know, sometimes you go to someone with a problem and you think that person's judging me. That person's not even in the same page as me. And you come away feeling undone. But when you go to God, he doesn't judge you. He receives you with all your everything, warts and all. He receives you and lovingly counsels you to the place where you need to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. He lovingly counsels you to the guys and girls. It's like, let's yield to the counsel of the Spirit of the Lord. Let's yield to his counsel. You know, I've lived a while now, and I can rewind the clock, and I think of all the people that started this journey with me in 1980. Some of them never lasted to 1981. Some of them never lasted halfway through 1980. Some of them never lasted the decade of the 80s. And they fell by the wayside. And of course, Jesus tells us in Mark 4 that in the parable of the sower that people will fall away. But if they'd gone for the counselor and asked for counsel, if they'd asked someone to help them, you know, when we're in trouble, we shouldn't run away from God. We should run to him. He says in James 4, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. People, when they come into difficult situations, they're either going to fight or the other side of it is they have flight. So you either run away from your problem or run towards God, who will give you the strategy to get through your problem. Amen. There is nothing that you in your life, there is nothing, nudge your neighbor and say nothing. There is nothing that God is not interested in. There is nothing. Well, I've got this problem at work. And you know, I used to be like that. I'd go home at night and I'd be in, I'm fessing up myself here. But you'd be in one of those moods that men come in. I don't know if women ever come in like that. But men do. And it's like, what's up with you? I had this problem at work. And you bring your problem home. though, if you know Jesus and he's the counselor, even in that midst of that problem, you say, Lord, help me through this. Holy Spirit, give me the way to get through this. I remember a time, and it was in Swaziland, when the Holy Spirit told me to buy this big crushing plant. And I'm like, I've got no money. And the Holy Spirit says, I'll give you the strategy. And he counseled me right through that deal till it was completed. And he did that many other times in my business life. But it was like, I don't know how to do this. You yield to the Holy Ghost, and the counselor goes to work in your life. But when you go and say, I've got all the answers, it's like if the student's got all the answers, the teacher doesn't even appear. Yeah. Yeah. But when the student's ready, the teacher appears, isn't it? So the counselor comes when you're yielded to him. So the Holy Spirit will always give perfect advice. Hosea 14:9 says, let those who are wise understand these things. Let those with discernment listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen. So this woman and her husband are getting on in their years. And so the husband thinks his wife's getting deaf. So he says to her, can I get you something for the kitchen? And she says, yeah, I want you to get me ham and eggs with some tomato on the side. And so off he goes to the kitchen to get the ham and eggs with the tomato on the side. And after a while, he comes back with ice cream and cake. And she says, I wanted some fruit on the ice cream. So people, when they're getting older, they forget things and they don't hear properly. But listening is a skill that we have to practice. Amen. We hear, but we don't listen. We hear, but we don't listen. Some of you here today, you're hearing me, but you're not listening. You see, he's up there flapping his gums again and waggling his wallies, and you're thinking, does he even know what he's talking about? Trust me, it's the Word of God. And he says, let those with discernment listen carefully. I could preach on that for a week. We need to discern what we hear. The world is full of false news, false information, fake news. It's coming from everywhere. You got to discern what you hear and discern what you decide is the truth for your life. It's the truth that sets you free, and you've got to discern what's the truth and what's a lie. Are you with me? We got to discern these things. And so we have to listen, and we have to decide who we're going to listen to for the truth. For me, I know who the truth giver is. And Jesus, the wonderful counselor, his whole purpose, God's whole purpose for sending Jesus to the earth was to release the Spirit of God onto the earth. Amen? Because Jesus could only be in one place at one time. He wasn't omnipresent. He could only be one place, but the Holy Spirit is he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Amen. So we can go straight to the truth giver and ask him for counsel. Is this the truth or is it a lie? Are they telling me the truth or are they telling me a lie? How many of here are in working environments where you know people are full of porcupines and they're lying to you all the time? Amen. So you have to go to the truth giver. Amen? Amen. I think that's the way you do it. So the word goes on and says, the paths of the Lord are true and right, and righteous people live by walking in them, but in those paths, sinners stumble and fall. So the path of the Lord is true and right. I used to think that these Christians are crazy people, you know, and they're just so mamby-pamby and limp-wristed. And I thought, these guys don't know anything. But after a while, when I became a Christian, I realized that there's a path of truth and a path that is right. Amen. That's what the counselor came to do. He came to bring us on a path that will take us to the place where the end is going to be where God wants us to be. Amen. And God's motives. Let me read Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says this: The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. You know, I think when we say unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and that we have, that's a Christmas verse. We don't go behind that verse to see what this really means to us today. Today, I would think some of these scriptures that you're getting today are the most vital scriptures to keep you on the road of life. That's the abundant life that God promised us. So he says here, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. You feel depressed? Get your soul revived by the instruction of the Lord. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. So when he tells you to do something, you can go to the bank. You can put your life on the line because he's told you to do this. Amen? So making wise the simple. You hear the instruction of the Lord, it will make you wise. Hallelujah. I think that's awesome. And it goes, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. So when you live without condemnation, self-condemnation in your mind, you have joy in your heart. Amen. It's that living free from guilt brings joy in your heart. And the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for the living. We need insight. We need insight today. We need to say, well, I'm going to make an investment. Do I invest in Bitcoin or do I invest in this or invest in that? And you think, well, I don't really know what to invest in. Father God, what can I invest in? Lord, I want to live prudently before you. What can I invest in? Show me what to invest in. Amen? Amen. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. He will tell you about the future. Guys, that is, wow, he'll tell me about the future. I can know the future. I don't need to go to Madam Brain Dead or Fifi, yeah, or whatever to get my palm read. I don't need to look at the horoscope every day. I go to God and ask him, what is my future? Amen. Should I take this promotion? Should I move to this job I've been offered? Should I do this? No, ask the Holy Ghost. Don't go around in ever-decreasing circles. Ask God. Christians, ask God. You say, well, I've asked him before, but he never answered me. I expected the answer immediately. Well, wait on God until he answers you. Amen. God's motives are always pure. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Isaiah 11, verse 2, and I've got 7 weeks of teaching on this, the seven spirits of God. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The Bible places high premium on wise counsel. And wisdom and counsel are important. But when we see that Jesus came and the package was sevenfold, amen? When the Holy, we think when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of speaking in other tongues and maybe interpretation of tongues or maybe a word of knowledge or maybe a word of prophecy. That's only one tiny portion of the seven spirits of God. We need to understand the fullness of God. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, study the Word and you'll find out, you'll move into something. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain to wise counsel. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. God understands your struggles. And in Hebrews 4:15, the Bible says this. Let me just get to it. Oh, just put it up for me. Hebrews 4:15. I want us to go away today understanding that the wonderful counselor came to give us wonderful counsel. And that's the reason he's called. Every name of God was for a reason. It was the product of who he was and who he is. So when he says, I'm the wonderful counselor, then we got to take that counsel. He's the high priest of our that understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Go to verse 16. And it says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So you say, well, when do we need it most? I need it most every day. I may be the only one here, but how many of you would say I need his counsel most every day? I need to know some things most every day. I need to know that my decisions, you see, my decisions, because of the vision God gave me, is a multi-generational decision. So if I'm making a decision, I'm not making a decision for today or for my period and my elected period as a parliamentarian. I'm making a decision not to get votes at the end of the year. I'm making a decision based on generations to come. Amen. We make decisions based on our children's children's children. Amen. That's the life type of decisions that we make, so that the children that you bring into the earth are going to have victory in the earth, and they're going to know how to receive understanding and receive wisdom. Amen, because you'll be wise, because you will always get your answers from the Lord. Amen. So today, if you need help, the Holy Spirit is here to help you. And every day, the Bible says this in Ephesians 6:18, it says, be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. So, because daily, you lose that contact. You lose that empowerment. You lose that mindfulness of the Holy Ghost. But daily we should be saying, fill me afresh today, Lord, with your Spirit. Amen. Just let's lift our hands right now. Say this with me. Dear Father God, thank you that you sent your Son Jesus as a wonderful counselor. And Father, when he came back to be with you, he sent me your Spirit to live and dwell with me forever. And he's the one that will lead me and guide me in the way that I should go. Father, I'm asking you now for a refreshing of the Holy Spirit in my life. Father, I thank you for a refreshing in my mind and my whole physiology. I'm thanking you, Father, for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding coming day on day, Father. I thank you, Father, that I have the assurance that your Spirit will never leave me, will never forsake me, but is with me always, saying behind me, this is the way, walk in it. So, Father, I thank you. When I think of Wonderful Counselor this year and into the future, I will think of the counsel that I get from your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone receive anything from the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm so utterly convinced that for Christianity to continue for generations to come, we need the Spirit of counsel. We need the Wonderful Counselor in our lives, leading us and guiding us in the way that we should go. For us to do the work of a Christian, the work of reconciliation. See, that's a big word, Pastor. Try saying it, reconciliation. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? It means that you reconcile people back to God. You do the work of Jesus. You do the work of that we were called to do. And we will reconcile a nation back to God. Amen. And every opportunity that we have to share with people, we can share with people. And if they have an argument, you've got a testimony which a good testimony destroys any argument. There's no argument against a personal testimony. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.